Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
And slides.
Hoo-ah!
He falls.
Oh, and then he falls down at his standing desk.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hey, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier from Odyssey's Nerd Talk. I'm your host, Prager. While most of him might be cold, his upper lip remains warm. He's our skin squatch and your fur daddy. He's Brandon from the internet.
Sound like you called me Arson Skin Squatch?
Yeah, but the former manager of Arsenal?
Yeah. I was just thinking of a Yeti that lights things on fire.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we go for some more structure fires? Because, I mean, I'm really into that.
Yeah. Even better. He's into structure fires from Miami, Florida. He's Siege.
What's up, guys?
Only if it kills lots of children.
Oh, yes, in the Everglades.
Yeah. Via airplane. I was going to say he's the first person in my life to make the chaos of Florida and the taking away of people's rights seem actually worth it. It's one of those weird things that, like, I know a lot of people who are from Seattle that, like, rep Seattle hard. And then, like, there's a lot of, like, problems with Seattle that where it sucks. And it's, like, it's hard to differentiate between the two. But a person that's got some Seattle stink on them can be like, no. Siege, like, even before they were, like, taking away women's rights, you were like repping the weird part of Florida, and that hasn't changed.
Oh, hell yes.
And no, I think never. You would like the women's rights to stick around, so like,
I do. I prefer women's rights. I like women.
Yeah, there we go. Blanket statement. Get the tarp. Let's go. Also, thanks to Steven, Brandon's brother, for the kind help tracking the data from this program. And great spreadsheet data. Very, very cool. Thank you. And welcome to a new behind-the-scenes brain this week. Gravy Gervin is helping us stay on track this week. So,
Woo, Gravy.
I always say none of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain. And maybe now he could actually live real-time proof that those things are all true. If you are one of those things or you are on Google, let us know what we get wrong or possibly what we even get right. NerdTalkPlus.com is where you can find us. Something I would love to know about our listeners before we get started today. This is we've talked about this a lot, just kind of flippantly throughout the years on the pod, but like, would you like it if we tried to, like, tackle a specific subject in a week? Like, I want to learn about giraffes, but I don't necessarily want to put in the research. But if that's something that you think would be fun from us, I'm kind of willing to do it. Or all of us could look up a giraffe fact, and then we could get together and talk about it or something. Like, I just think it seems like a fun thing to make it more about nerd talk and less about us talking about dicks and centaurs for a whole episode, and then, like, try and, like, have something. I mean, we could still talk about centaur giraffes and their dicks or whatever, but, like, yeah, I think it might be nice. Or if you just want us to continue goofing off the way that we do, go ahead and let us know. Also at nerdtalkplus.com. All of our socials are there, our handles and everything. Maybe we'll even put up a Google something where you can fill out a poll or a spread. I think I'm overpromising right now, to be honest with you. But
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things that we always want to do, but will we do them?
So I got an email this afternoon from Siege, and it was that he was massively bored and that he was dicking around. And so, but it's
$100 at a time.
$100 exactly. At a time. Trying to
another $400 today. Oh, by the way, we got such a response to that last week. I just want to thank everybody who answered in our poll.
Oh, yeah.
On nerdtalkplus.com at wait, at nerdtalkplus.com on Instagram.
Yeah, spell that whole thing out.
Yes. And there was only one person who I'm not going to name names. You know who you are, who said that they would take the million and never hit it again.
Brandon.
But
it wasn't even me. I didn't even see the poll until I saw the results. And then I was like, hey, there's one other person who is too strong for themselves out
there. but since then, like, we've gotten plenty of response on there, and everybody who's given us love on at nerdtalkplus.com on right. Instagram, we are above the 50 people mark.
Yes!
We're getting comments, and today we had some people introducing us to commenting about us on other hybrid human animal love novel pages, and would like to see if they can't get us to read said novels.
Was that Sugar Toes or was that Kristen, her sister? I can't remember which one was.
I don't think it was either one of them, actually. Let me take a look here. I can't remember.
It was Megan, I think.
Yes, it was Megan. Yes.
And so, longtime podcast friends.
Yes.
And just, I couldn't have more in my heart for them for supporting us for so long. Came out to our laser tag party that we did for ODP at the Arena Sports. Gervin was there, I believe. Gravy was there. And so, like, when we add another person to sit off mic and do these things, just know that, like, that whole social media interaction was all because of Gravy sending us this stupid meme that we ran with. And so it's pretty fun. So you're in good hands with our good
with
Gravy.
Our new unpaid good intern Gravy.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, Siege, you emailed me today about you were bored with some time on your hands, and it's because we had a big-ass eclipse today.
Damn right. Sorry, I don't have the sound.
After all of that, you don't have the sound?
No, I sent it to you. You can put it in post.
Okay, well, I marked it.
Mark it.
This is the quality of a podcast you've joined, Gravy. That's good. So,
wait, was the whole point of this segment to listen to this sound?
Well, I mean, it was a setup for it.
I can't even fake react to this because I haven't even heard it, the original.
Do you want me to, like, forward it to you? No, because you're recording right now. I mean, Siege, can you get it working while we're talking? Is that a thing?
Everybody pretend like you haven't heard any of this.
I'll see what I can do, guys.
Well, today was the big solar eclipse. And effectively what that is if you put your thumb over the moon and you're looking at it and you're like, the moon is gone, and you trick a two-year-old with that. That's like the same thing that happened, only the moon got in the way of the sun today. And then Austin was like, whoa, the mushrooms are extra cool today. This is wild. Whoa. And it was pretty cool because it got real dark. But like, just a few years ago, there was one that went ripping through Oregon. It was days after my child was born, so 6 years ago now. And, like, we were outside, you know, with the stupid glasses on, being kind of unimpressed because you have to be right there at totality or whatever. So it's this thing where people spent zillions of dollars to travel and get themselves hotel rooms and all these things to try and make the eclipse this moment that you'll never forget. And then NASA drops the best Instagram post. They're so badass. They drop the whole, like, Earth, that's cute thing. Jupiter, with at least 79 confirmed moons, and definitely more than that. I guess it has eclipses all the dang time. From the Galilean moons, which are like the main moons that we see in a telescope from here, Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto, and then there was one more whose name I can't remember. All of those generate, they're big enough or at the right distance away to generate a solar eclipse on Jupiter, like, all the time. Sometimes because of resonance, where these moons go around, and one will go around for every two times it goes around, the one beyond it lines up with it. And so it does, for every one, it's two, and for every, you know, whatever. And they line up, so sometimes you get, like, a triple eclipse on Jupiter. Now, granted, no one lives there because everyone's already been raptured, obviously, but it's like it's a thing that happens there. And I thought NASA was so badass to just drop that on all of us to be like, that's cute, Earth. But, like, you know, on other planets, it's wild. We have all this footage and stuff from it, from sending the Juno space probe and stuff. So
that just makes me think that Jupiter is just a constant rave of strobe lights every time the moons are crossing in front of the sun between Jupiter and the sun. It's just...
Yeah, right? Vampire Weekend just never gets a day off playing a show for the eclipse. They played in Austin today, to be clear, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
What did everyone do for the eclipse today? If anything, Siege?
Eclipse 2024.
The aftermath.
There it is. Siege, let's start with you. What did you do for the...
I hid inside to stay away from the aliens and the massive destruction and all the rapturing and the people being having their souls sucked out of their faces.
Sure. Buttholes. That was,
and I made this.
Eclipse 2024.
The aftermath.
And I also got the password to my Reddit back.
Oh!
Hey!
How did you do that? Just like forgot password?
I'd just kind of forgotten about it and just didn't care for the longest time, and finally just contacted Reddit and changed the password, got it back, and yes, whoever had it was all porn.
Yes!
Just ungodly amounts of porn, and every time I was trying to unsubscribe from something, I was just like, Jesus, there is more porn, so I'm just not even unsubscribing to it. I'm just going to the pages I like, so.
He's just making $100 at a time, man. It's
awesome.
Oh,
my God. I'm just baking like, brownies.
I have a feeling that he never lost the password. It was like just a Jekyll and Siege situation where every afternoon he wouldn't take his potion or whatever and then just go on Reddit as whatever the Jekyll version of Siege is.
This is it, like sitting on one hand where it's the stranger.
Jeek. Yeah, it's Jeek.
Jeek.
Jeek and Siege.
Jeek.
Oh my goodness. But
I wonder what does opposite Siege look like?
It's the same Siege, only he's purple.
Oh. Yes. Okay. And his mustache is very sharp.
And
he's wearing
horns?
A suit.
Yeah.
He's basically Grimace.
Grimace with a Wario mustache and a Van Dyke beard.
Perfect.
I'm gonna win. He says to his dick as he pounds it. You can't say that.
Can you?
That's another $100, everybody. So you did not participate in the eclipse today, huh, Siege?
No, I did not. I was not afraid, but I have enough people who are friends who are also witches who said stuff like, oh, yeah, people are going to die today. And I was like, all right, so I'm going to take
people die every day.
Yeah, but that's a thing that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Let's see, when a witch tells you shit's going down, then you know what? Listen to them.
All right. Well, that was underwhelming. Do you know what percentage? Totality you had in South
Florida? Yeah, I think it was only like 58%, so it wasn't a big deal. I did have a lot of friends like send me pictures of stuff, but I was really inside just like editing and teaching, so.
How many people do you think showed their butthole to the eclipse as like a thing? Like people have been sunning their perineums. That's been like a trend for the last year or maybe more during the pandemic or whatever. How many people were like, I'm going to let the evil out of me and have it be sucked into the eclipse? More than five? Do you think more than five people showed their butthole to the eclipse?
More than five? I would say more than five in like my neighborhood, probably.
Not that guy whose house got hit by the space trash. But
yeah, not that guy.
He did.
He was up there on the roof already.
Brandon,
I did not know that it was even happening today.
Talk plus.
Yeah. No, I went. I was at work and I was down at the front desk talking to some people, trying to help them with their computer. And I, which is not my job, it just happened to be something that I was doing at my job today. And I went down and this person came up that was like rents a space downstairs. I think she does. What do they call it? Like
yoga,
healing? No, like Reiki healing.
Oh, right? Like crystals and stuff, or like where you hold your hands just close to somebody, but
you're
don't touch
putting
them.
The souls back into.
You're
people.
Moving energy. Yeah, she moves the souls back into the butts.
She was like,
yeah.
She was like, oh, a lot of people are gonna die today.
Well, so she comes up to the top of the stairs, and somebody was like, oh, I don't, you know, can you see it? And she said, no, it's just a little bit too cloudy. And I was like, wait, I'm pretty sure we're so far. I mean, I just looked it up. The inland northwest was a 26% totality since we're the furthest away from the eclipse pathway, which made me think, like, I don't know what she was expecting to see, because Spokane is already just a little bit dark on a day like on an early spring day like this anyway. Like, we are already at least 50% darker than we would be with a solar eclipse.
Not the population, though.
Well, that's fair.
Accurate.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. Nothing is the answer then, I guess?
Yeah, no, I mean, there was just clouds. So yeah.
Seattle was totally...
Even if there was something, you weren't seeing it.
Yeah, it was 20% something here, like you said, and there was no way of seeing it, even if there was, if it was perfectly clear out. You could see, like, you know, it would make shadows and stuff where you would see it, which is cool. I saw a lot of pictures of people, like, taking pictures of their lawn furniture with the slats in it. The light that would pass through it would be in little moon shapes because it was eclipse or whatever, but, like, not, like, anything cool. Like, you had to be in a very small range for it to actually be badass, I think. Just, like...
I should have asked that chick if she could have, like, moved the clouds around with her energy and see if she could actually done something and just see how she would have reacted.
It doesn't work like that, Brandon. Her chakras aren't strong enough, okay? She's just
how do you know?
Woman. Yeah. How do you not
know? She's never been...
Where does she put her crystal eggs?
Well, I don't think we can say that on this family podcast. That's,
Eclipse 2024.
The aftermath.
Shout outs to the International Space Station that got to fly through the shadow of the moon. What is it called? The penumbra or something like that? Like the
perineum.
The perineum.
Beat me to it.
Shout outs to the International Space Station flying through the perineum of the eclipse today. That was pretty badass.
Nothing like a ball shadow.
I mean, like, they've got to see stuff like that all the time, right? Like Brandon's version.
I can just imagine that. Zero gravity, ball shadow just kind of floating past the window. You're like, what is that? Look up. Captain Dan!
All of the lights, that light that's refracting off of it is just little moon shapes.
It's just Sergey and the Russian module putting his balls against the window. And you're like, ah, Sergey, you're... Joker, you.
But in space, they look like hieroglyphics.
If you're not careful, I'll show you his black hole later.
Well, he'll be one of the five. So, yeah, that must be pretty wild. I mean, I guess you see a sunrise every 40 minutes or something. Oh, actually, they're a little bit higher orbit. I wonder how often they see every 90 minutes or something like that. Isn't that what it is? When you're in a low Earth orbit, you see the sunrise every 90 minutes. So I wonder... They got to fly through the perineum, I wonder if that's really that impressive for them. It just kind of looks like you're flying through the donut hole of the eclipse or whatever, I guess.
I'm trying to think how many times would you, like, I mean, of course, depending on the angle and whatever else like that, you're not going to see an eclipse every couple of days or something, but unless you're, like, going on... Artemis, and you're actually going around the moon, maybe that? Don't they call that an Earthclipse or something when they do it like that?
Oh, yeah.
What's it called if you see an eclipse? So wait, the sun is behind, you're standing on top of the moon, and the sun is behind you, and you're looking at the Earth, and you can see the donut hole? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Whew.
It's called
Only we had someone to... Look it up. Let's go to the chat.
Let's
every
go
90 though. Minutes.
Wait, we have a chat?
Yeah, it's a chat. If there's anyone out there listening to this that ever wants to join us live and see this thing recorded real time, you're welcome to join us, and we can put you into the audience chat, and you won't disrupt anything. You can just say stupid things on here. Just let us know. Reach out. Again, all of our socials, you can hit me directly from nerdtalkplus.com. I'm happy for the eclipse. I think it's a fun thing, and I think it's really rad that we get to participate in something like that, and everyone gets to get a little weird. The witches get weird, and the congresswomen get weird, and, you know, it's just like it's a time for everyone to be manipulative in their own weird things. The eclipse on the moon can last up to 5.5 hours, says Gravy in the chat. That's awesome. You're looking at it. I get hungry for donuts, though.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway,
I get hungry for buttholes. You're welcome.
The next lunar eclipse, I was talking to my karate instructor, Sensei Derek, and
what?
He said, yeah, at least his last name is Wong. I guess that like is nice, right? It's like at least there's some authenticity to the, there's not, it's still just American people teaching Chinese Americans how to do this. Anyway, Sensei Derek told me that the next one is over the Luxor, not in Las Vegas, but rather the proper Luxor in I almost said Hawaii. No, that's in Egypt. The next one is the Path of Full Totality is going to go over the freaking pyramids. You think people were weird this time? Like, that's going to be bananas. I kind of want to go to that. I should book it.
What's left of the pyramids?
Well, yeah, I mean, after they lift off and fly away, right?
No, not after Kong and Godzilla had their way with them.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Brandon, you know what time it is?
Haiku Review!
It's time for the Haiku Review, starring, this time, Brandon from the internet. Go ahead, Fur Daddy.
All right, I saw Godzilla x Kong over the weekend, and here's my review. Godzilla and Kong save people, but also don't. Mothra can get it.
Ooh.
Damn right.
Two different. That's two very different reviews we got from you. It sounds like Brandon was much more story oriented. He seems like the story didn't bother him as much as it bothered C's. Now, for your haiku review, out of five Mothras, what do you give it, Brandon?
Oh, I'll give it like a. I'll give it a two Mothras.
What?
Here's the thing. The movie gave me 75% of the movie was exactly what I wanted it to be, and then the other 25% was anything that featured any of the humans in the movie.
So he wants all furries, no humans.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I can see that. I can see
that. Yeah, no, it's like there was enough going on where you didn't need the... I call her like AI Scarlett Johansson, the lead actress, because she looks the whole time I'm like, who is this person? And it's because it's nobody, at least nobody that I've ever heard of. But she looks just enough like Uncanny Valley Scarlett Johansson that that I had to turn over and look at my friend at one point. I was like, did they just take like the Marriage Story? I don't know if you've seen Marriage Story.
Hold on. Were you lying on top of your friend? You had to like turn over and like, hey, friend.
turned to my left to say to my buddy Jimmy, and ask him if it was...
Sup, Jimmy.
I had to ask him if it was Scarlett Johansson. It wasn't, apparently. I'm still not convinced, but I haven't Googled it. Anyway, every point in the movie where some plot would change or like the story would develop, it had to have her being like, and now... if Godzilla does this, here's what will happen, and this is what will happen to Kong, and if that happens, this will happen. So they have to explain everything that's going on, even though I feel like most people could just get it. I don't know. It wasn't all terrible. Like that part of the movie was a 2 out of 5 Mothras. The rest of the movie was 5 out of 5 Mothras. Mothra was 69 out of 5 Mothras. She was genius. It was like all of a sudden, it's like all of this chaos where every time there is a battle between Godzilla and Kong, they basically, they say at the top of the movie, we're lucky to have them because they are saving us from much bigger disasters. But then every battle just destroys entire, like Sao Paulo completely gone. Mm-hmm. Every, like millions dead in every city where anything happens, like Rome just completely destroyed. Everything is terrible.
But it's also great.
We're lucky to have them because they're not killing you on purpose. Yeah. They're just doing it on. They didn't mean to. So
they're saving
okay.
the planet from us.
Yes,
it's like Thanos, but like with absolute murder as opposed to just disappearing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. The actress is Rebecca Hall, allegedly, and
AI.
Large mouth, kind of closed, sultry eyes. So I get the Scarlett Johansson thing. I kind of see where you're coming from with that. But I don't actually... I'm at the point now where I believe that we're going to have AI actors and actresses and stuff that we won't necessarily know about. Like, during the Super Bowl, that commercial with Arnold Schwarzenegger where it's clearly not him. It's just like his face put on
his head on top of a
maybe not even
body.
His full head, to be fair, either. I'm just watching kind of the previews for this movie right now, and I'm disappointed in how Kong looks, to be honest with you. I need him to
Well, he's old. Kong's old as hell.
Oh.
Yeah. Kong doesn't age nearly as well as Godzilla, because Godzilla can recharge anytime he gets, like, you know, any sort of radiation or anything like that.
Well, he's also a what do you call it, a radiation beast, yeah, right? Like, he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Brandon, I got distracted because Brandon sent us pictures of...
I've just sent you two pictures. I've sent you Rebecca Hall, apparently, is this made-up
Siege, can you put AI, them in the... Scarlett Johansson, and then Scarlett Johansson, who's not AI.
That's the same person. I mean, they both look like young Mon Mothma. I mean, that's...
Yes.
Wow.
You've never seen... I just know for a fact that you've never seen Marriage Story starring Adam Driver and...
Correct.
Scarlett Johansson. But the whole time I was watching this movie, that's why I thought it was Scarlett Johansson, because
exactly
her in that movie looked exactly like, with the haircut, same person.
I mean,
also completely irrelevant to the entire rest of that movie.
Yep.
except here's the thing about Mothra. Like, I didn't realize this because I don't feel like this is canon for the rest of the rest of the appearances of Mothra across the rest of the movies ever.
Don't overthink it, bro.
But she becomes like, she's like fully benevolent, and she just comes out. She's an angel and just like starts saving
Mothra
lives.
Is the queen. Yeah, Mothra is the mother. She's the queen. Ever since they fought in the very first Mothra versus Godzilla, Mothra basically calms Godzilla down and is just like, yo.
Said Mothra basically comes. And I was like,
yes, Mothra comes all over Godzilla, does squirt like silk all over his face, ties him up.
The end.
Gets them all wrapped up. But yeah, like Mothra is like the queen. Mothra is the badass. Mothra is the only one who can really control Godzilla. Like, so much so that, like, I know this is just kind of a side story, but Mothra is such a badass that my sister was getting butterfly tattoos of, like, for the whole family. Because, you know,
wait, you have a sister?
I have a sister. I do. Yeah.
I guess I knew that. I don't know.
I think you did. But
I'm sure
also,
I do, but in my world, it's the Siege universe, and then there's like some parents.
Yeah, it really is.
And, wait, are you the disappointing one, or are you the one that they're proud of?
Hold on, let's hear about the rest of the butterfly tattoos.
I'm sorry.
We may be able to answer that.
All of the above. No, my sister, as a 20-something, of course, is getting butterflies tattooed on her for everyone in the family, and was telling everybody to pick a color. I would not
Catholic?
Get... Huh? No. I would not pick a color of a butterfly. I demanded that she put Mothra on her. And so, yes, she has Mothra tattooed on her for me. And this has got to be, what, like 2000 or something like that? I don't know.
So she didn't just do it now as a 20.
No.
That's why I said against Catholic. I thought you had like a 20-year younger, you know, sister.
No.
Fun fact.
I think all three. Yeah.
I had a dog that was a Boston Terrier, and when I got her, I was like, we're calling that dog Mothra. And my girlfriend at the time was like, can you think of one other name before you decide on Mothra? And I was like,
Mechagodzilla.
And then I was like, Mechagodzilla. Then I cut off her leg and attached a weed whacker to it, and it was f***ing awesome.
Dude, you've just given me the best idea for my three-legged dog.
Yes!
Gets the yard cleaned up. All good. You still got that dog?
Dude, I still got... Yeah, Dude, I never told you about the rest of that story ended.
We got some part of the story.
We still have that dog.
It came running back all the way across.
From Seattle to Spokane. It brought Brandon's cell phone he dropped off his car on the way to, which was real nice.
Cage just popped through the door and said, I heard that. I didn't tell you guys how we still have that dog, but
it's Cage. Sup, dummy.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the most expensive comic book that's ever sold. Someone originally paid 10 cents for a copy of Action Comics number 1. It was always John Manley that I would think of when I saw comic books, but then we got our very own Siege, and so now I have another place to put this. I have purchased 3 comic books, all Star Wars, in my entire life. I know nothing about comic books whatsoever other than some of the main people that you see, the Spider-Mans and whatnot. I only know what the Marvel Universe has given me, what the television shows have given me, the lore of my childhood, but I've never purchased comic books until I was in my late 30s. So Action Comics number 1 means nothing to me. It was in the 1930s. It introduced us to an alien boy who would become Superman.
Yes,
Captain
sir.
America number 1, Justice League, and more also sold, but none for 7 figures. Action Comics number 1 featuring Superman in an 8 out of 10, whatever you call that, quality or whatever. It's
wow. That's incredible.
Like the condition.
Condition, thank you.
Yeah.
Sold for how much, do you think? I want to see if we have any concept of how much this goes for.
You said, well, seven figures?
7 figures. For $1,200,000.
I wish I wouldn't have said 7 figures now.
Yeah.
So, 27 million.
That's 8 figures, so thank you.
You're welcome.
$6 million it went for.
Wow.
For one comic book. How do you feel about that, Siege?
Personally, I think that's awesome because number 1 of 1 from 1939. We got to remember that's almost 100 years ago now.
Yeah, it's like 86 years ago or something like that is what it said.
Yeah, like this is like Great Depression era, like let's rally the country. Let's rally the
people. Captain America was punching literal Nazis.
Yes. Yes. And still should be.
Yeah, at the still time, could it was be. Just social commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As it should be again.
Yeah. It's to me, I think that's awesome just because of like how the fact that it was an 8 of 10 in like condition for preservation. That's just amazing to me. Like I've got comic books literally piled up next to me like right now just from some of the stuff. And sometimes I'll even buy them just because of the people that like we know people from the supporter section in that actually write some of these. G. Willow Wilson, she does Poison Ivy, and I've got like the copy of the Women's History Month Poison Ivy special cover right next to me, and
pretty cool.
How Spider-Punk just came out with a brand new Arms Race series. It's a 1 of 1, 2 and 2 of 2 just came out. There's Edge of the Spider-Verse. There's all sorts of new stuff just coming out all the time, and like just to think that I'm thinking about like saving a copy for my son because he loves them. But then I'm thinking 100 years from now, will they even exist? Will they be like wallpaper somewhere? It's like,
will we exist?
Yeah, for real. Like, no.
No. No, just a uniform now. Nope. I think it's dumb that we would spend that much money on something like that. And then I also then I also think about how like I spent a bunch of time in the special collections part of the library at the University of Arizona. While I was pretending to get smart there, and I was like looking at books that were 200 years old and being like, wow, this is incredible. It's a good thing we still have this. And so like just because it's entertainment or whatever doesn't mean it's any less valid that we would have it as a form of cultural expression, specifically since we are basically as a culture. Like it doesn't no matter how smart or dumb we get, we like always end up being picking the worst possible opportunities to the lowest common denominator, give them the biggest microphone and let us shoot ourselves in the foot. It's like
this is we're exactly always gonna go to that.
So might as well have Spider-Man or in this case Superman or whatever.
For real. Which is exactly why I said that we will not be here in 100 years.
But you and I for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brandon,
yeah,
you and I, maybe, that, but no. Yeah.
I don't know.
No. He's not gonna be here.
No. He's barely riding the bike anymore.
This reminds me these kinds of stories always make me think of two things. It makes me think of like, we will never know what the things are that are going to have staying power in culture. So, like, remember in when everybody was like crazy about Beanie Babies and how those are going to be worth something someday if you just held on to them and kept them in, and like, that's,
you gotta think, you know, some of them will
maybe,
yeah,
maybe, but like, I don't know. I mean, that's, it just seems like those things like that, or especially now when duplicates or knockoffs are so easily and readily available, immediately, like something comes out and you immediately have duplicates of it 100 times from 100 different, you know, manufacturers all over the world, that you, and I'm, of course there are people always out there that can tell the authenticity and like the, you know, whether something is truly the thing or not, but it, the things come out now, and when they're manufactured, they also come out in so many so many units are produced of a thing, yeah, where it like dilutes the value of it. And
so you want to buy that Wu-Tang Clan album? That,
yeah, unless the, yeah, the, yeah, Martin Shkreli Wu-Tang album. But like, that's, but there's so, and then, and now it's a thing that everybody knows. Hold on to that thing. So then you have 100 of the Beanie Baby whales that will be worth something someday.
But I mean, on top of that, like, I just Googled what are the most expensive video games ever sold at auction, and I don't think this has been, well, February 23rd, 2023, so pretty recently. As of a year ago, Super Mario 64 was a 9.8 A++ sealed N64 1996, $1.5 million for that. And how many units of that did they put out? Like,
yeah.
I guess it's just up to someone to like rob themselves of joy or have enough money to like hold on to buy a second copy. Or like the dad who like in Japan bought his kid the game and then put it in the drawer and then forgot about it. And 30 years later, they opened up the drawer when he died. And they were like, whoa, dude, it's the original Super Mario Brothers. Like,
so we should just buy things, then die, and then hope that they're worth something someday.
With the video games, I personally only have like a Nintendo Entertainment System, original NES, and one of the games that I have still is Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and it's Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I didn't even realize that they made another Punch-Out without Mike Tyson in it. And I remember a couple years ago, I just happened to be saying something to somebody at SuperCon, and the guy was like, "I'll give you $1,000 for that right now. Like, I will give you cash. I will go get cash and give that."
Well, I could jerk off 10 times, or
yeah, right.
But it's to like Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yes, Glass Joe. Yeah. And which is funny, because now you look back at it and you've got what's his name, Jake Paul, going to fight 70-year-old Mike Tyson, and it looks just like
60-year-old, but yeah,
yeah, and he looks just like the first guy in the game, Mike Tyson's Punch Out, Glass Joe.
And Mike Tyson still looks like the last guy. Like, you know, yes, what I mean? Like, he's, yeah, like,
Mike Tyson would still kill you.
From the chat, thanks to Gravy for saying the Peace Bear Beanie Baby is somehow actually worth $5,000. Maybe not worth keeping it that long, but like, yeah. I guess that's cool. Not because of you, Sean. I'm just saying. Like, I guess that's like cool if you get held on to it or whatever. That, like,
I feel like if you had bought that Beanie Baby 20 or 30 years ago, and somebody told you that in 30 years this thing that you bought is going to be worth $5,000, but you just have to hold on to it and keep it somewhere in your house for 30 years, would you do that?
Sure. I mean, what's $5,000 worth, though, I guess?
Okay, so how much did that Beanie Baby cost when they purchased it? And then if you had... I'm not, like, one of those, like, crypto or, like, investment bros that's like, if you put that in a hedge fund and by this time, blah, 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 you know, this many years later, it would have the returns of over $5,000. But I would imagine that you could have invested that money better and made more than $5,000.
Part of the original 9 Beanie Babies, Brownie and Deep Fuchsia Patty were introduced, blah, blah, blah. We've seen them go for as low as $400 and as high as $2,500. So if you paid $4 for it back in the early 90s and it's now worth rent in Seattle for a month, like, was it worth it? I guess. How long do you got to wait for it to be actually worth something? I guess not, really. I mean,
yeah.
The one that they took on the SpaceX the first Dragon capsule. They took a Beanie Baby with them up there. I think it was a Beanie Baby, and it was like a dinosaur that they brought with them to show when they're floating. And that, I tried to find that, and it was like pretty spendy at that time or whatever. I don't know what it would go for these days, but it couldn't be more than a few hundred bucks. Like, what's the best investment to turn it around and make $1 zillion in the future? And how do you know? Like, how do you time? I guess that's the trick, right? Apple stock is what you said.
Yeah. If you look at the box that I have sitting in this room that my grandma just randomly gave to me one day, apparently she thought it was going to be it's not on murder bed. Lammy poo. No, apparently she thought it was going to be Ken Griffey Jr. memorabilia.
Ooh.
And it's not, let me tell you, the condition that it's in is not
it's
8
Ken
out of 10
Griffey
or 9.9
Senior
out of
memorabilia.
10. She really thought he was going to take off at 33 years old. No, when Griffey was playing, when Junior was playing, he was probably in his late 40s at that point.
I mean, in baseball, you can play until you're like 65.
That's true.
Well, back then in the 80s. In the 80s and 90s, probably.
You just can't hit that long. That's the problem with Ichiro, right? He can still play in the field, no problem, but he just can't see the ball coming anymore. At 42 years old, he couldn't do it.
I think Ichiro's the opposite. I think he could probably still hit. He just doesn't need to be running through the outfield.
No. Opposite. He stopped being able to see the ball. His batting average went way down. Like,
he had to put his readers on every time he stepped up to bat.
So yeah. It was the... The fast twitch, the seeing the ball and being able to swing at it, because he was notorious for 11 straight seasons. He had 200 hits each season, and it was just from poking the ball, just being able to just dink it right out to the shallow outfield.
And he had power. He just didn't use it.
Yeah, he could just run everything down. And so, because that cannon that he had on him from right field was incredible. Mm-hmm. And so...
And what's funny
is 40 and Junior was 20 is what Gravy says here at the time. So,
and Ichiro at 65 was still the best player on the Marlins when he played here.
I have maybe Sean actually has it. I have the dual bobblehead of Ichiro as a Marlin and Ichiro as a Mariner, and
I got it too.
I was really fortunate to work at the station at the time because we have club level tickets or suite tickets or whatever. I can't remember what they're called. The night that Ichiro switched to the Yankees, we were like, hey, we're taking those tickets. And we went and watched him debut one night after playing as a Mariner. He was playing as a New York Yankee. We got to watch that. That was
heartbreaking of all the damn teams to go to.
I've never seen a guy be who had been as stoic, have to take so much time to like and be emotional because everyone was so shocked, but also happy for him, I guess. In that moment, glad he came back and he's still a Mariners figure because that's pretty fun or whatever.
Hell yeah!
All right, so Siege sent this to me, but also it made the rounds through the internets. A mouse embryo with 6 legs and no genitals was created by scientists, says a headline at iflscience.com. They replaced the wiener parts with extra
two legs.
Two of the legs are where the humpy bits are supposed to be, and you should see the opposite one where they made a mouse with no limbs and 6 sets of genitals.
Extra Brandon's version.
Making $600 a time. Rubbing itself on the couch.
$600 every time it hits the button.
All these penises but no arms. What am I to do?
It just rolls back and forth, bro. It just rolls back and forth.
Just put the two of them in the same cage.
This is really
and
great
disaster
for one of
strikes.
Us.
They split the money though, Brandon, so it's good for both.
Okay, that's fair.
Listen, you can buy a house in an hour.
And they reproduce like crazy, so I bet you they can go, man.
Oh my God.
We gotta go back to the math on this one.
That meme only applies to humans, okay? That's so fair. Here's a thing that we haven't done since pre-Siege times. This is like going back a couple years, Brandon. This is special for Brandon and I. It's Bad Guys and Billionaires.
Aww, missed the segment.
Elon Musk predicts that AI intelligence will overtake human intelligence by next year. The world's dumbest smart guy is saying that, like, this is something where they'll be able to do the calculations faster and better than us. It's not going to be general intelligence where it does problem solving on its own without stimulus, but it can be, I don't frankly understand what the difference is. I just want it to be in charge of Twitter when it comes online so we can get some, like, you know, sanity back on that platform so I can start using it again. You know, it has happened when they stop calling it X and they return it to its old name. I'll be like, oh, the AI is in charge now. Elon thinks by the end of next year that robots will be smarter than humans, which is bonkers to me, and that artificial general intelligence, where it can do problem solving and decision making on its own, by the end of the decade. What
Elon also thought the Cybertruck was going to be available worldwide by 2020.
He also thought it was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Exactly.
That's a bigger problem. He didn't say that it wasn't going to be racist. I mean, the AI is just, it's going to be a murdersome thing, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are we putting much stock in Elon's predictions of things like this? Because I feel like he's around it all the time, and like he was right about SpaceX pretty well. I mean, he might be a little off or whatever, but is it a... And he's got, and that, have you guys seen what the Neuralink is looking like for that guy that's playing chess? I mean, I suddenly love it now because the guy's playing chess with his mind and not having to use his hands because he's plugged in and using a Bluetooth connection to be able to control the mouse on the chessboard or whatever. But like, I don't know.
I have not seen anybody alive still with the Neuralink. That's also it's because there. I haven't been searching for it, but that's...
There's just a mouse with six genitals that has...
I wasn't talking about an organic mouse. I was just talking about this weird piece of plastic with a bunch of dicks on it. It was...
He made a computer mouse that just has...
Oh, my bad, guys.
Just in between all the fingers.
Yeah.
How do you click it? How do you scroll?
A little short-legged little squid.
Yeah. It squirts. It's awesome.
I don't know how it's measured that AI is smarter or dumber than us, but yeah. I'm just going to go, I would just assume that it was already smarter than us.
That hasn't happened yet?
Yeah. Like, I already ask it things on, you know, ChatGPT, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm stupid. I couldn't summarize all of this in 5 seconds. Maybe the fact that it is able to process and report data doesn't mean intelligence. It doesn't mean that it's able to like accurately communicate that intelligence. I don't know exactly, but
okay. From the article at slashdot.org, my guess is that we'll have AI that is smarter than any one human probably around the end of next year, said the billionaire entrepreneur who runs all that garbage. Within the next 5 years, the capabilities of AI will probably exceed that of all humans, Musk predicted on Monday during an interview with Twitter, on Twitter with Nikolai somebody, the chief executive of some investment management company. I mean, is he just trying to drum up money for his own thing, or Brandon?
The incel Camino.
The Cybertruck, the incel Camino. Thank you, Gravy.
Sorry.
To answer your question, yes, he is just totally trying to drum up money for his own stuff. These things already process stuff so much faster than us. Like, any of those answers, it's like we can go to Google ourselves or Bing or Ask Jeeves and collect all our data and, like, come and answer stuff. But...
It's not $100.
Yes.
Ask Jeeves? He's like, you asked.
Sorry.
Your wish is my command. Jeeves is actually Reverse Siege.
Wow.
He's got a little top hat. It's a little monocle.
It's Grimace in a top hat with a Wario mustache.
That means the Siege is the actual evil one. And then Jeeves is the good one.
We knew that. I thought we were all making on that. Yeah. Like,
so wait.
That Grimace was good.
If Siege is chaotic neutral, right? Isn't that what you called him?
Yeah.
Or chaotic good? I can't remember.
He called me chaotic neutral. You were making an argument for me that I was chaotic good, but I still think I'm somewhere in long good neutral.
I think you've got too much morality in you, Siege, to be chaotic
neutral. Don't tell people.
Or bad. Well, I mean, they just have to listen to you be nice all the time. But what's the opposite of chaotic, good or neutral then?
Lawful neutral?
Lawful bad?
Unlawful bad? It's unlawful evil? Is that what it is?
Ooh, can I do that?
Unlawful evil just seems.
It's
got to
be lawful.
Unlawful.
Lawful evil. Lawful evil. Lawful evil.
Like, I follow the rules, but I'll murder you if I can get away with it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's like this character in that book about sucking in Stormlight that I'm reading. He is lawful evil.
I want to know. Someone pull up the chart for. I want to look at it now. The what do you call that?
The alignment chart.
Right? Chart of alignment.
See, why don't we ask? Why don't we ask AI to do this for us, and it would already have been figured out.
Brandon's on it.
It's called the alignment chart. Chaotic, neutral. So the opposite that is lawful neutral. I mean, it's not the opposite. Chaotic neutral is on the far right middle, and lawful neutral is on the far left middle.
Lawful.
So if I'm chaotic good, I'd be lawful evil, which means that I follow the rules, but I am just a rat bastard.
God, you keep swearing you are a rat bastard.
I am. Mark it.
This is the first time we've had 7 marks on an episode. This is amazing.
Wow.
Well, in this new format, at least. Okay. Well, I want to get to the bottom of this. I want to. Let's ask ChatGPT something, Brandon. What do you want to ask ChatGPT today? What do we talk about? Let's go through here and see if we can find something cool to talk about.
I want to know what animal has the most genitals.
Great.
Has the most genitals?
Yeah.
Do sharks have 2 because they're called claspers?
Whoa. The animal with the most... Man, ChatGPT was on this one. They didn't take any time to think about it. And maybe it's because there's just one answer. It's like a simple... ChatGPT was like, without a doubt, the animal with the most genitals. The animal with the most genitals is the female spotted hyena. The female spotted hyena have what is known as a pseudopenis. Which is an elongated... which is an elongated clitoris that is almost indistinguishable from the male's penis. The pseudopenis is used for urination, copulation, and giving birth. It's the largest genital structure relative to body size among all mammals. And now I would say that that's a technicality because we already know that the bon- Oh, he's it, it did say mammals. It did say mammals. So
what happens when you cross a barnacle and a female spotted hyena?
It's just a propeller abomination.
flying hyena. This,
a flyena, first of all. This unique anatomy has led to some interesting reproductive and social behaviors within spotted hyena populations. And then it stops. It doesn't tell us what those unique behaviors are at all. So we'll say might as well have ended that with a dot, dot, dot. I'll say, like what? The unique reproductive animal of female spotted hyenas has several interesting implications for their behavior and social structure. Dominance hierarchy. Female spotted hyenas are typically larger and more dominant than males. The dominance is reflected in their social structure, blah, blah, blah.
Like you whip out your dick, and then like, then the female is like, that bigger than that, and you're like, no.
The presence of a pseudopenis is thought to contribute to this dominance. As it may serve as a physical advantage during conflicts. What are they doing with these? Like,
wow.
Are they either like using them, like pole vaulting each other or just like whipping them at each other?
Stopping doors
beating each other with them.
Reproductive control. The pseudopenis. This is honestly mind blowing. I've never heard of this.
Next week on Nerd Talk Plus.
A female
all
spotted
about
hyenas. Gives them more control over mating interactions. They can actively solicit or resist mating attempts for males, which can influence mating success and ultimately paternity. Giving birth through a pseudopenis can be challenging and even dangerous for female hyenas. The birth canal is narrow and the process can lead to complications such as obstructed labor or genital injuries. Despite this, female hyenas have evolved adaptations to facilitate parturition, including the ability to dilate the pseudopenis during birth. Dilating the pseudopenis during birth is not a combination of words I was expecting ever.
My dog has gotten really uneasy since you started talking about this. It's amazing. She's like, hey, can you pick me up, please?
You weren't supposed to know. Social dynamics. The presence of a pseudo penis in female hyenas blurs traditional sexual dimorphism, leading to complex social dynamics within hyena clans. Males may have difficulty distinguishing females from males at a distance, which could affect social interactions and baiting strategies within the group. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, that was a lot, but you guys, I was genuinely learning something today.
I just tried to ask ChatGPT which is bigger, the male hyena penis or the female hyena clitoris, and it would not answer, so...
It was like, I mean, it depends on how far away we're looking, because from a certain distance, they look exactly the same.
Brandon's already,
you get up close, and you're like, come on, man.
Brandon's already sweet-talked ChatGPT long enough to end up being like, come on, you know we're just using this for science. Yeah. Yours is over there like, nope, we know what you're doing.
Well, speaking of which, I feel like that brings us to the end of another heady, stupid show or whatever. And so I'd like to try something a little new this week. We're going to unmute Sean Gravy Gervin here and bring us to the end of the show. It's What Did We Learn This Week? After all, this is a heady show.
Yeah, I mean, going out in that bombshell that Brandon dropped on us of a pseudo penis and dilation, we all learned something there, I think, pretty clearly.
None of us wanted to.
No, that was unwelcome.
I want to know more.
That was about as unwelcome as a pseudo penis could get. I think, you know, if we're going to go down the list, Greg, you learned that Siege is the Siege from the bad place. He's the Wario Siege that we have here. We got the bad one on our side.
I like that.
Siege did learn how to get his Reddit password back from after Greg stealing it and using it as his porn account for so long.
Yes.
And then Brandon's got a great idea for a mecha dog. I think that's going to be fantastic, as long as he doesn't get too confused with anything. And I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
Can we have lasers on your mecha dog, or is it only wand devices?
And how many sets of genitals can we have on your mecha dog?
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Brandon.
I was going to recommend putting a pseudo penis on her. establishing dominance among all of the other dogs in the neighborhood.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Here's the thing that we haven't done since pre-Siege times. This is like going back a couple years, Brandon. This is special for Brandon and I. It's Bad Guys and Billionaires.
Aww. Missed the segment.
Elon Musk predicts that AI intelligence will overtake human intelligence by next year. The world's dumbest smart guy is saying that, like, this is something where they'll be able to do the calculations faster and better than us. It's not going to be general intelligence where it does problem solving on its own without stimulus, but it can be, I don't frankly understand what the difference is. I just want it to be in charge of Twitter when it comes online so we can get some, like, you know, sanity back on that platform so I can start using it again. You know, it has happened when they stop calling it X and they return it to its old name. I'll be like, oh, the AI is in charge now. Elon thinks by the end of next year that robots will be smarter than humans, which is bonkers to me, and that artificial general intelligence, where it can do problem solving and decision making on its own by the end of the decade. What
Elon also thought the Cybertruck was going to be available worldwide by 2020.
He also thought it was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Exactly.
That's a bigger problem. he didn't say that it wasn't going to be racist. I mean, the AI is just, it's going to be a murdersome thing, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are we putting much stock in Elon's predictions of things like this? Because I feel like he's around it all the time, and like he was right about SpaceX pretty well. I mean, he might be a little off or whatever, but is it a? And he's got, and that have you guys seen what the Neuralink is looking like for that guy that's playing chess? I mean, I suddenly love it now because the guy's playing chess with his mind and not having to use his hands because he's plugged in and using a Bluetooth connection to be able to control the mouse on the chessboard or whatever. But like. I don't know.
I have not seen anybody alive still with the Neuralink. That's also it's because there. I haven't been searching for it, but that's...
There's just a mouse with six genitals that has...
I wasn't talking about an organic mouse. I was just talking about this weird piece of plastic with a bunch of dicks on it. It was...
He made a computer mouse that just has...
Oh, my bad, guys.
Just in between all the fingers.
Yeah.
It's, how do you click like it? Little, how do you scroll?
A little short-legged little squid.
Yeah. It squirts. It's awesome.
I don't know how it's measured that AI is smarter or dumber than us, but yeah. I'm just going to go. I would just assume that it was already smarter than us.
Yeah, like that hasn't happened yet?
Yeah. Like, it's all... I already ask it things on, you know, ChatGPT, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is I'm stupid. I couldn't summarize all of this in 5 seconds. Maybe the fact that it is able to process and report data doesn't mean intelligence. It doesn't mean that it's able to like accurately communicate that intelligence. I don't know exactly, but.
Okay, from the article at slashdot.org, my guess is that we'll have AI that is smarter than any one human probably around the end of next year, said the billionaire entrepreneur who runs all that garbage. Within the next 5 years, the capabilities of AI will probably exceed that of all humans, Musk predicted on Monday during an interview with Twitter. On Twitter with Nikolai, somebody, the chief executive of some investment management company. I mean, is he just trying to drum up money for his own thing, or Brandon?
The incel Camino.
The Cybertruck, the incel Camino. Thank you, Gravy.
Sorry.
To answer your question, yes, he is just totally trying to drum up money for his own stuff. These things already process stuff so much faster than us. Like, any of those answers, it's like we can go to Google ourselves or Bing or Ask Jeeves and collect all our data and, like, come and answer stuff. But
it's not $100.
Yes.
Ask Jeeves? He's like, you asked.
Sorry.
Your wish is my command. Jeeves is actually reverse siege.
Wow.
He's got a little top hat. It's a little monocle.
It's Grimace in a top hat with a Wario mustache.
That means the siege is the actual evil one. And then Jeeves is the good one.
We knew that. I thought we were all making on that. Yeah. Like,
so wait.
That Grimace was good.
If Siege is chaotic neutral, right? Isn't that what you called him?
Yeah.
Or chaotic good? I can't remember.
He called me chaotic neutral. You were making an argument for me that I was chaotic good, but I still think I'm somewhere in long good neutral.
I think you've got too much morality in you, Siege, to be chaotic
don't
neutral
tell people.
Or bad. Well, I mean, they just have to listen to you be nice all the time. What's the opposite of chaotic good or neutral then?
Lawful neutral?
Unlawful bad?
Unlawful bad. It's unlawful evil? Is that what it is?
Ooh, can I do that?
Unlawful evil just seems
it's
got to
be lawful.
Unlawful.
Lawful evil. Lawful evil. Lawful evil.
Like, I follow the rules, but I'll murder you if I can get away with it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's like this character in that book about sucking in Stormlight that I'm reading. He is lawful evil.
I want to know. Someone pull up the chart for. I want to look at it now. The what do you call
the alignment chart?
Right? Chart of alignment.
See, why don't we ask? Why don't we ask AI to do this for us, and it would already have been figured out.
Brandon's on it.
It's called the alignment chart. Chaotic, neutral. So the opposite that is lawful neutral. I mean, it's not the opposite. Chaotic neutral is on the far right middle, and lawful neutral is on the far left middle.
Lawful neutral.
If I'm chaotic good, I'd be lawful evil, which means that I follow the rules, but I am just a rat bastard.
God, you keep swearing you are a rat bastard.
I am. Mark it.
This is the first time we've had 7 marks on an episode. This is amazing.
Wow.
Well, in this new format, at least. Okay. Well, I want to get to the bottom of this. I want to... Let's ask ChatGPT something, Brandon. What do you want to ask ChatGPT today? What do we talk about? Let's go through here and see if we can find something cool to talk about.
I want to know what animal has the most genitals.
Great.
Has the most genitals?
Yeah.
Do sharks have 2 because they're called claspers?
Whoa. The animal with the most... Man, ChatGPT was on this one. They didn't take any time to think about it. And maybe it's because there's just one answer. It's like a simple... ChatGPT was like, without a doubt, the animal with the most genitals. The animal with the most genitals is the female spotted hyena. The female spotted hyena have what is known as a pseudopenis. Which is an elongated... which is an elongated clitoris that is almost indistinguishable from the male's penis. The pseudopenis is used for urination, copulation, and giving birth. It's the largest genital structure relative to body size among all mammals. And now I would say that that's a technicality because we already know that the it did say mammals. It did say mammals. So
what happens when you cross a barnacle and a female spotted hyena?
It's just a propeller abomination.
flying hyena.
A flyena, first of all. This unique anatomy has led to some interesting reproductive and social behaviors within spotted hyena populations. And then it stops and doesn't tell us what those unique behaviors are at all. So we'll say might as well have ended that with a dot, dot, dot. I'll say, like what? The unique reproductive animal of female spotted hyenas has several interesting implications for their behavior and social structure. Dominance hierarchy. Female spotted hyenas are typically larger and more dominant than males. The dominance is reflected in their social structure, blah, blah, blah.
They can whip out your dick, and then like, then the female is like, that bigger than that, and you're like, no!
The presence of a pseudopenis is thought to contribute to this dominance, as it may serve as a physical advantage during conflicts. What are they doing with these? Like,
wow.
Are they either like using them, like pole vaulting each other or just like whipping them at each other?
Stopping doors
beating
from opening.
Each other with them.
Reproductive control. The pseudopenis. This is honestly mind blowing. I've never heard of this. The
next week on Nerd Talk Plus.
A female
all
spotted
about
hyenas.
Hyenas.
Gives them more control over mating interactions. They can actively solicit or resist mating attempts for males, which can influence mating success and ultimately paternity. Giving birth through a pseudopenis can be challenging and even dangerous for female hyenas. The birth canal is narrow and the process can lead to complications such as obstructed labor or genital injuries. Despite this, female hyenas have evolved adaptations to facilitate parturition, including the ability to dilate the pseudopenis during birth. Dilating the pseudopenis during birth is not a combination of words I was expecting ever.
My dog has gotten really uneasy since you started talking about this. It's amazing. She's like, hey, can you pick me up, please?
You weren't supposed to know. Social dynamics. The presence of a pseudopenis in female hyenas blurs traditional sexual dimorphism, leading to complex social dynamics within hyena clans. Males may have difficulty distinguishing females from males at a distance, which could affect social interactions and baiting strategies within the group. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, you know what, that guys? Was a lot, but you guys, I was genuinely learning something today.
I just tried to ask ChatGPT which is bigger, the male hyena penis or the female hyena clitoris, and it would not answer, so...
It was like, I mean, it depends on how far away we're looking, because from a certain distance, they look exactly the same.
Brandon's
you
already,
get up close, and you're like, come on, man.
Brandon's already sweet-talked ChatGPT long enough to end a being like, come on, you know, we're just using this for science. Yeah. Yours is over there like, nope, nope. On, we know what you're doing.
Well, speaking of which, I feel like that brings us to the end of another heady, stupid show or whatever. And so I'd like to try something a little new this week. We're going to unmute Sean Gravy Gervin here and bring us to the end of the show. It's What Did We Learn This Week? After all, this is a heady show.
Yeah, I mean, going out in that bombshell that Brandon dropped on us of a pseudo-penis and dilation, we all learned something there, I think, pretty clearly.
None of us wanted to.
No, that was unwelcome.
I want to know more.
That was about as unwelcome as a pseudo-penis could get. I think, you know, if we're going to go down the list, Greg, you learned that Siege is the Siege from the Bad Place. He's the Wario Siege that we have here. We got the bad one on our side.
I like that.
Siege did learn how to get his Reddit password back from after Greg stealing it and using it as his porn account for so long.
Yes.
And then Brandon's got a great idea for a mecha dog. I think that's going to be fantastic as long as he doesn't get too confused with anything. And, I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
Can we have lasers on your mecha dog, or is it only lawn devices?
And how many sets of genitals can we have on your mecha dog?
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Brandon.
I was going to recommend putting a pseudo-penis on her. establishing dominance among all of the other dogs in the neighborhood.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.